There are two opinions about the HBO show The Wire. Do you watch it, Rach?
We had this discussion yesterday. I do not own a television. I will say it here now. I'm going to buy one in 2008. That's my resolution. But I've been told that I should go rent the whole thing at my local Blockbuster, which I'm going to do.
And you got to experience it from start to finish like a novel. But the two types of people, you are the extreme of one
extreme.
Camp, which is people either say, I don't watch it. Perhaps sometimes they say, I tried to get into it and I couldn't. So that's one extreme. I don't watch it. On the other extreme is, I love it. It's my favorite show. No one is on the fence about The Wire.
Yeah,
it takes a lot to get into. It's the HBO series created by David Simon about Baltimore's dark corners and backroom dealings, corrupt cops, corrupt city officials, corrupt school officials. See the motif there? So there's David Simon, the creator, is the guy who's shining the light on the corruption. And it makes sense because for years he was the Baltimore Sun's reporter and a crime reporter, and he broke a lot of stories and had a flair for writing. And as I was thinking about this, I said to myself, hey, you know who else was this once this great Baltimore Sun reporter? David Folkenflik, who's NPR's media reporter.
And hey, conjured him up and he appeared.
How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing great. Well, with an intro like that, how great could I not be doing?
I think the first time we ever spoke, the second thing I said to you after Folkenflik, that's a real name, was I knew you were from the Baltimore Sun, and I think I said, David Simon, did you know him? And you said...
Yeah, you bet. He was one of the first people to welcome me to the Sun when I joined as a sort of cub reporter in 94.
And what was his reputation then?
It was already pretty well established. I mean, he had already taken a leave and written the book Homicide, Life on the Streets, Year on the Streets, that was turned into a TV show by NBC and Tom Fontana, if you remember, Barry Levinson. He was taking another leave shortly after to write the book The Corner with his collaborator Ed Burns, a former Baltimore city cop and school teacher. And that was then turned into an HBO miniseries. He was seen as a chronicler more than a reporter in some ways. I mean, he's sort of an immersion reporter who understood the way in which people thought and spoke and lived their lives, particularly in the worlds of crime and law enforcement.
So his stories, you would read them and you would say, I kind of felt like I was there. You might not say, oh, that was the police captain who bribed the police lieutenant. You might not know everything about what's going on in the hierarchy, but he really got into the in-depth nitty-gritty of the street.
Well, I mean, he did both. He was a police beat reporter before he was, a police Balzac, right? I mean, he really was reporting a lot about the issues affecting the homicide division. Baltimore murders were a terrible issue, and there was, for example, I think in around 94, there was a lot of tension between the homicide division and this new reformist police commissioner who had come from San Jose and was shaking things up there. Yeah. So he was able to do things like that as well.
So what do you think he, in his series – up to this year, and then we'll get to this year. What do you think he gets right and what do you think he gets wrong?
Well, I mean, David's approach really is about the notion about how the leaders and the institutions of Baltimore have repeatedly failed the city. I mean, this is a decaying, sort of post-industrial, northeastern-ish city that had been for, decades dependent on the port. You know, he showed how the working class economy was collapsing, how often was being replaced by the drug trade, how there was sort of this seeming sham war on drugs, enabled cops to get budgets, enabled politicians to get elected. Meanwhile, developers, other people were doing the deals they were doing. The schools weren't producing people equipped to function in a new economy, really.
And if you haven't seen The Wire, everything that Dave Folkenflik is saying right now, that's the plot. That's not just the background. The schools, the ports, this is exactly what the series
astonishing,
is about.
Astonishingly sophisticated. If you think over the last 25 years of police-based or Law & Order-based shows, whether Law & Order itself or Hill Street Blues.
Police even the procedurals.
Exactly. Even the best of them never got into things like this.
And
we were almost fearful of these. These are sort of audience killers.
Yeah, the conception was, there's no way we're really going to tell how to get a warrant or how to tap a phone. You just call a judge and it happens. On The Wire, they take, six episodes to show how to get a warrant or tap a phone. You want to play a clip or two?
Well, before we do that, I do want to say one thing. You asked also what did he get wrong?
Yes.
And having lived in Baltimore on and off for, a decade, also a stint down in Washington among
that.
But
and you slung crack for a while.
Well, relatively briefly.
Okay.
But
joke.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, one of the things he gets wrong is that you only get glimpses of life as it's lived by the vast majority of people in Baltimore through things like one of his heroes is Detective Jimmy McNulty, and he's a avid, energetic, aerobic cop, but he's also kind of a screw-up.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see it as he looks at his ex-wife. She lives in a nice neighborhood. She's got two kids from whom he's estranged.
So the nice, normal person, the everyday person, that's not who Simon's going to be fascinated with.
And understandably so. But at the same time, people – and I've talked to people applying to The Sun, among other places. They think that's all Baltimore is. And Baltimore is a violent city. It's in many ways a dysfunctional city. But it's also a city that works for the vast majority of people who live there.
Right. Then it, you know, but then again, the argument is if you're going to do a story about the Old West, it's probably going to be a gunslinger that you concentrate on and not the milkmaid.
I think it's totally fair for Simon to take his take. But in terms of actual – if that's Baltimore, it's not all of Baltimore.
Right. You want to – okay. So let's do a clip. This is a character named Lester Friedman. He's a character that Simon likes. He's got a lot of integrity. Is this who we're going to hear?
Yeah. It's Lester Friedman. He's a detective. He's talking with a younger detective about a case that's really animating him.
Okay. Let's hear it.
I don't know, man. I like street work more.
You'd rather sit in a surveillance van days on end waiting to catch Tater handing Pee-wee a vial? This detective is what you're telling me? A case like this here, where you show who gets paid behind all the tragedy and the fraud, where you show how the money routes itself, how we're all of us vested, all of us complicit?
Career case, huh?
Baby, I could die happy.
What's that tell us about David Simon?
Well, there are two things about this that I think are great. First off, it's sort of – I mean, actually three, I guess. It's magic. It was magic to see it's in an early episode of this fifth and final season. I would say two things, one of which is it reflects Simon's notion that institutions are failing, that we're all complicit, we're all vested. I think those phrases are very key to his feelings about the city of Baltimore and how it works and doesn't work. And the second thing is I feel as though this is really a reflection of how David operated as a reporter. He's putting it in the mouth of a detective, and at this point, none of the writers can remember who wrote it. He's got a great stable of writers, including the novelist George Pelicanos and Dennis Lehane and, you know, these other names that you know. But at the same time, it really reflects my impression of what David was like as a reporter when he and I were at The Sun together.
And we're going to get a lot of impression of what he was like as a reporter, because the new season, the institution is about the media specifically. They don't even change the name. It's about the Baltimore Sun, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely right. They had to sort of wrangle with the current Baltimore Sun executives and editors to do it. And
well, the Sun could have said no, right?
Sun could not have, and to its credit, it said, okay, we were supportive of it reporting on or portraying the real city police department, the real city hall, often only thinly disguised characters based on real-life counterparts. They allowed this to go forward.
And so what does he say is his motivation in talking about the newspaper as one of these important institutions?
Well,
why is Simon doing it?
They're two things going on, one of which is he has a very serious critique of the way in which news organizations are run. First off is he looks at the financial pressures on newsrooms across the country, and The Sun was not only not immune from it, was hit very hard. Losses of paid circulation and losses of advertising meant that it has been forced to get rid of over a quarter of its staff, newsroom staff, in just the last 7 years of being owned by the Tribune Company. This is a major component of David Simon's critique. He also has a very stinging critique of what he considers to be the prize culture of American journalism. That is, you go for the biggest package, a five-day series, The Sun has learned, and he feels that there's a sensationalizing and a trivializing of the news, and that this was in particular, and here it gets a little personal, fostered by two of The Sun's leaders who guided the newspaper in the 90s, John Carroll, who's the editor-in-chief of The Sun in the 2000, became editor-in-chief of the LA Times. Bill Marimow, managing editor, then editor-in-chief of The Sun.
I know
in 2000,
that guy.
And then a former a senior news executive here at National Public Radio.
Let's just hear a little bit of David Simon himself talking about his own motivations.
The best grudge. These guys were great. They were fuel for 10 years of my life. On some level, I hate them as much as the day I met them.
Well, you know, there's so much to ask, and we only have, you know, 30 seconds left. Do you think that the lens he puts on the newspaper, from what you've seen, is as fair and as good as what he does with the ports, what he does with the cops and the crack dealers? Is he doing a good job this season with the newspaper?
Well, that quote, to be fair, was sort of a part of a performance art he did at a fundraiser. He'd say it's hyperbolic, but there is sort of a personal animus. He disagreed with the way those two guys led the paper, and those characters are not necessarily, to my mind, as fully formed. They're a bit more cartoonish as some of the characters that you came to know, love, or despise in the earlier seasons.
All right. Or then, let's be fair, maybe it's us. They're skewering us, you know, instead of a port guy. Thanks, Folk and Flick.
You bet.
Is the BPP Today. The show is directed by Jacob Gans, edited by Tricia McKinney. Laura Conway edits the blog. I'm Mike Pesca. That's Rachel Martin. Thanks for joining us.